In today's gospel, we have that classic phrase, "Get behind me, Satan." And I'm sure you've heard it numerous times if your parents haven't said it to you. Get behind me. You know? But when we talk about this passage, we often think Jesus was saying it in an angry tone, like, get behind me. But he wasn't. I think he was rather like a more heartfelt kind of, you know, comment, like, get behind me, Satan. Because you see, this pattern was already seen in the temptation narratives. So for 40 days, remember that Satan tempted Jesus, you know, food, the whole thing about the temple, the whole thing about taking over the world. And he went through that whole system for 40 days and walked out with Satan being, defeated. And now, just prior to this, he's had his disciples say, "Who do they think I am?" And they respond by saying, "Well, you're the Messiah." But they got confused. It's not surprising, because they thought their image of the Messiah was going to be one of conquering, one of taking over, one of doing away with the Romans, getting rid of them. But instead, Jesus says, "No, that's not how this is going to happen. This is going to happen on the cross. This is going to be where I am going to have to be crucified and lifted up. That's how the Messiah is going to come into being, the Son of God." And so when Peter takes him aside and says, "Jesus, you can't do that kind of death. You have to stick around, because how are we going to take over all this if you're not around?" And so Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," as if to reminding himself of the fact that in the desert, in the wilderness, he had to put up with that same kind of temptation. And now there was the temptation of, well, taking over. But that isn't how Jesus says. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." And then he doesn't end it there, though, does he? He says, listen, to understand, you have to take up your cross and follow. Take up your cross and follow. And so we have it at the beginning, get behind me, Satan, following Jesus. And now take up your cross and follow. Follow is so important here. So important to understand just how our faith journey is following. Following. Even though, you know, the whole world around us often says, listen, it's about yourself. Be number one. Be the leader. Get in front of this. Be the one that guides. And yet, Jesus says no. He says, he reminds us that our role is to follow. And that can be really tough at times, because if you take the cross, the word of the cross, and you suddenly change that to ministry, and you replace cross with ministry, then ask yourself, what is my ministry? What is God asking me to follow in using my ministry? We all have a ministry. Some may be a ministry of peace. Some may be a ministry of reconciliation. Some may be a ministry to the homeless. Some may be a ministry to justice. The list is endless. But it's your ministry. It's yours. And so with this passage in the gospel, we suddenly have an image of reminding us of the ministry that you and I have to follow Christ, wherever that may be. Now that can be tough, can't it? I mean, when you're driving along the roads and you come up to an intersection and there's somebody there who says, "Listen, I'm homeless, I have no money, can you buy me groceries?" It's hard, isn't it? To, you know, you want to sit there, don't look, maybe you won't look at me. Rather than rolling down your window and saying, "You know, I can't help you out right now, but I'm thinking about you." The conversation that would go on is totally different. Totally different. But that's ministry, isn't it? So I'd ask you to think about that this week. Think about your ministry, how it is that it's developed, how it is you use it, so that wherever you go, people will see God working in your life and follow the ministry that you've set before them. Amen.